Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking all things Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Mike, we've been talking a lot today about the drop-back passing game for the Titans. Obviously, it's not been good, and it's something that's got to get dramatically better in a hurry. How fixable do you think some of these problems are for the Titans in their drop-back passing game, whether it's the protection, whether it's generating explosive plays, which we haven't seen a ton of so far? How much more room on the rope do you think there is for this drop-back passing game?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it can get a lot better. Largely, to me, protection mixed with a little bit of, obviously the quarterback, not being fully comfortable in the offense yet. And I think it's pretty obvious, when you watch it on tape that he's, still thinking more than feeling the plays, the reads, everything. And I think it's just going to take time and reps, and that's not a satisfactory answer for fans who want results right now. But I just think that's going to require a little bit of patience to get there, and it's going to have to require better protection. And I think you need a little bit more from Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins too. I mean, Hopkins has had the injury and been slowed a little bit there, but they're paying those guys a lot of money for not a lot of production right now. And sure, we can put some of that on the offensive line and the quarterback, but if your receiver's getting open and demanding the ball, then the ball's going to find him at some point. So I think it's a little bit of all of the above, I do think there's a path where it gets better here after the bye, and I think the bye, frankly, was probably pretty well timed for them to get a little bit of a mental reset. Look at some things that have worked, what hasn't worked, and maybe retool going into the middle of the year now.
We know these charts just fly out after a weekend's worth of games and data come out. The Titans, I thought, were far too excited about their run performance against Miami. They certainly had run volume with 40 carries. But when you factor in that Pollard had a 41-yard run and ended up with a 4-yard average, and Spears, I think, was 2.9, I hardly thought that they ran the ball great. And then Rich Rebar puts out his graphic, yards per carry after contact, charted against yards per carry before contact, and the Titans are way up, almost touching the line with yards before contact. Just over zero, but very significant yards after contact, which suggests that the offensive line is not doing much run blocking at all, and that Pollard and Spears are doing God's work on their own. What does all of this tell you about the state of the Titans' run game?
And I think that is reflected in the tape. And you look at just that Miami game specifically, Pollard had 112 yards after contact and 88 yards rushing for the game. So, he was on average being touched about a yard in the backfield on every run attempt, which is horrendous from the offensive line. And I do think, just watching it, Pollard and Spears have been fantastic. I think both of them have been excellent, Pollard especially. But they need more help from the offensive line. And we still see things that, again, are reflective of a new offense, a young offensive line, the youngest offensive line in the league, and a relatively inexperienced group. We saw a play on Monday night where, I think it was Radins and Skoronski both pulled and ran right into each other in the backfield. So, I mean, there are clearly some understanding or, I guess, being on the same page, cohesiveness that is lacking with the offensive line at the moment. I think physically they haven't been bad necessarily. It just does not look like a group that is in sync currently. And that's Bill Callahan's responsibility to get them in sync. But, you know, when you have a young group, when you have four new starters out of that group, I think it's going to take some time for them to really get there. But I would say the encouraging thing is physically they're not getting whipped in the run game. It does not look like their timing and syncing of the blocks is quite where you would want it to be to really be excelling in the run game. And the yards before contact metric has got to get better for them to have real success on the ground, because I agree that Miami performance, they didn't have a ton of negative plays in the run game, which is positive, but they also weren't highly efficient either. I mean, they pretty much just grounded out. And again, you're talking about a performance that had the second longest drive of the game was 29 yards. So it was not a stellar showing by the offense by any means, except for the fact that they crossed that magical 30-point barrier.
Your piece is up at paulgohurski.com. Six areas where the Titans need to show more post-bye. One of the things you say, people aren't going to like this because it's actually favorable for Will Levis, but his turnover numbers, 9, that luck has played in there, which is only to suggest that things could become more favorable for him. He really is only 7th in turnover-worthy plays amongst quarterbacks, whereas the quarterback they may face this weekend, Anthony Richardson, 3 percentage points higher in turnover-worthy plays. Talk us through the luck factor in what's going on with him.
Yeah, certainly. I think the data suggests if you look at his 2023 turnover-worthy play rate, which is, you know, looking at PFF charts, the play itself, you know, whether the interception was dropped or, you know, a ball hits the ground, you know, I think if the quarterback fumbles, they generally grade it as a 50-50 proposition as to whether or not it's going to be recovered by the offense, which I think is historically accurate. So right now, Levis is not getting any of the bounces. All of the fumbles that he's had have been recovered by the opposing team. You know, he's throwing, the throws that he's put in harm's way have all been caught. Now, some of that is because he's doing these dumb things like trying to roll the ball back to Tajay Spears or flick it to the sidelines and give an easy interception to the defense. That's true. That is part of that. But his turnover-worthy play rate last year was 4.5%. This year it's 4.7%. It's basically the same statistically. And he only had 8 turnovers combined all of last year between interceptions and fumbles. So he's already outpaced that on, you know, about a third of the number of dropbacks. So it's a part of it is luck. And I do think part of it, you know, with Anthony Richardson, he's due for a little bit of regression to the mean as far as he's going to see more turnovers if he continues to play the way he's played over the first 5 games for the Colts. So I do think that there's a little bit of luck baked into that. That doesn't excuse the turnovers by any sense. He's still putting the ball in harm's way too much. But I think there's other quarterbacks that rank higher on a turnover-worthy play rate that you'd probably be surprised with. You know, Josh Allen, who a lot of people have as an MVP candidate, is higher than Will Levis currently in turnover-worthy plays. You know, and there's some others. You know, Patrick Mahomes is right in that neighborhood. Look, they get away with it, I think, in a way, because they make really good plays around those turnover-worthy plays. And Levis is not making enough really good plays around his bonehead plays. But that's a separate topic to me than the turnovers, which has been kind of the biggest drumbeat with Levis. And I frankly think a lot of that's going to fix itself just as the season wears on and you get a bigger sample size for the luck to kind of even back out.
Mike, on the other side of the ball, the numbers would tell you it's the number one defense in the league if you want to go strictly by yards per game. Now, they forced one turnover, and that was on a backward pass. So there's a lot of work to be done there in terms of forcing turnovers as they move ahead here. But my question for you is, how big of a believer are you in this Titans defense? Do you think the Titans have an elite or a close to elite defensive unit?
I don't think they're elite for just one specific reason, and that is the problem we've talked about with this defense going back to the offseason. It's a lack of pass rush. You know, they do not have a consistent pass rush, and to be an elite defense, I think that's a non-negotiable. Right now, the entire Titans defense, every single player who has played a defensive snap for the Titans this season, has 43 pressures by PFF charting. Aiden Hutchinson has 40 by himself.
Yeah.
So there is a massive gap between guys like Hutchinson, who is, you know, consistently creating pressure, creating havoc in the backfield, and what the Titans are doing collectively as a group. You know, Harold Landry is getting the quarterback down at a good rate when he gets back there, but he's not creating a ton of pressures. He only has 10 on the year, and then Arden Key has mostly been MIA, although I think his past two games have been his best so far, so maybe the light's coming on a little bit there, but you know, none of the depth guys have shown anything. Jalen Harrell, Caleb Murphy, none of those guys have even a pressure so far this season. So for them to jump into that elite category, you're going to have to find some production, and you got to look at the interior too, where Jeff Simmons is supposed to be the guy, and he has two pressures this season. That is not what you want out of a guy that's getting paid like he's a Dexter Lawrence, a Chris Jones level guy. He's not produced from a pass rushing standpoint anywhere close to that, and they need him to get there sooner than later if they want to jump into that elite category. But I do think they're very good. I don't want to be totally negative on them. It's obviously been a good unit. They are, you know, ranked in the top 10 if you look at any advanced metrics like EPA per play or DVOA, some of the stuff that bakes in a lot of the context that you need to consider when looking at defensive performance. So, and that's without turnovers, right? But I do think the turnovers are linked to the lack of pressure, because most of the time, if you're forcing turnovers, it's going to be because you're putting pressure on the quarterback. So I think that's the kind of key area that they need to improve if they want to get into that next category.
Both the stats and the eyeball test tell us Levis was better last year than he is this year. Do you think this new system requires him to take some, or has resulted in him taking some steps back before he can go forward? Or is there enough evidence to say maybe it's not the best fit to show off his best qualities, that quick release and that deep arm?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I do think they did a lot last year to try to, you know, I don't want this to sound like derogatory towards the Will, but they did a lot to try to dumb down the offense last year for him, make it a 1-2 read, simple, which, you know, helps a young quarterback certainly. And I think this Callahan offense is a little bit more, you know, kind of 201 from a you know, terminology and what they're asking him to do as a quarterback standpoint. So I do think there's a little bit of growing pains that you're seeing with him being asked to make full field reads, being asked to make more decisions generally within the offense. And you're seeing him struggle with a little bit of that. You know, but then again, like, they've tried some of those play action shot plays and haven't really had a ton of success hitting those, you know, that are simpler reads, more defined throws within the offense. And there hasn't been a ton of success there either. So it's hard for me to say that, hey, if they just switched back to that approach, we'd see something a lot more like last year. I'm not totally sure that's 100% the case, but I will be interested to see if they lean more into that coming out of the bye, kind of getting back to some of, you know, as much as we may hate to see it after the last 6-7 years, you know, run the ball, play action off of it, kind of offense to at least stabilize things until Levis gets a little bit more comfortable in the true drop back passing game.
He's Mike Herndon. He writes deep analysis at paulkuharsky.com every Tuesday. His latest is up now. Check it out.
Absolutely. Mike, appreciate your time as always, my man. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, pal.
Absolutely. Mike Herndon, our guest on Robbie and Rexro. We'll have PK's rant coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gentry Estes to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into Vanderbilt's upset over Alabama with him. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.